4 years ago this month, the FBI informed NBA Commissioner David Stern that one of the league's officials was being investigated in connection with a basketball betting operation. The referee involved in providing professional gamblers with information about NBA games, some of which he had worked and bet on, was Tim Donaghy. In Gaming the Game, the story behind the NBA betting scandal and the gambler who made it happen, Sean Patrick Griffin explores the connection between Donaghy and Jimmy Baba Batista, who alleges, among other things, that the NBA failed to discover all that it might have about what Donaghy did and how he did it. Sean Patrick Griffin joins me now from WHYY in Philadelphia. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me.
Your major source of information about betting on NBA games and various other sports events was Jimmy Batista. Tell us a little bit about him and how you came to know him.
Jimmy Batista was a professional gambler. In particular, he was what is called a mover. The idea is that no sports book, no bookmaker is ever going to take a $1 million bet, him or herself. And so somebody like Jimmy Batista's expertise was taking big bets, breaking them into small little pieces, and betting them around the world. In that world, getting somebody to get up, go to work every day, be trusted for getting the right bets, not losing money, not stealing money, it's not something that's taken for granted. And very early on, he was considered a very trustworthy person. Interestingly, Batista was never a handicapper. He wouldn't have any better success handicapping a game than I would. And his skill was aligning himself with the best bettors in the world.
How did Jimmy Batista get connected to Tim Donaghy?
Well, their history actually goes back to Cardinal O'Hara High School, which is also in the suburbs of Philadelphia. So they knew each other in high school, but they were not themselves friends. What wound up happening, Tim Donaghy was betting on his own games as early as the end of the 2002-03 NBA season. In 2003, Tim Donaghy was betting with a friend of his, a guy named Jack Kincannon. Jack Kincannon is not a pro gambler. He's just a regular guy. Well, Kincannon was placing his bets with a pro gambler named Pete Ruggieri, who's also based in the suburbs of Philly. You'll notice this whole crowd is all from Delaware County, which is just outside of Philly. And when Pete Ruggieri is placing his bets, he's placing them offshore in Curacao, and the person who's getting the bets is Jimmy Batista.
So the beginning of that relationship between Donaghy and Batista really came when Batista was amazed that anybody was able to make bets with information provided by an NBA ref who was reffing the games they were betting on.
Exactly. And as I describe in the book, according to Batista, the way they discovered there were bets on Tim Donaghy's games was that when Jack and Cannon typically bet NBA games, he would bet $2,000 a game. And all of a sudden in 2003, he starts betting $5,000 a game on certain games. And those $5,000 per game are winning at a ridiculous rate. And it doesn't take long to realize, oh my goodness, those are games Tim Donaghy's officiating. And they knew that Jack and Cannon was friends with Donaghy. So they were smart. They just simply started copying the bets that Jack and Cannon was placing.
What was the time frame during which Donaghy and Batista did business together?
In the fall of 2006, Jimmy Batista was on the outs with his wife, and as a result of that had moved in temporarily with Tommy Martino. He was the third conspirator in the 06-07 portion of the scandal. Well, as Batista is living with Martino, Tim Donaghy is calling Martino constantly, and he's complaining about Jack and Cannon not paying on bets. As a result of which, Jimmy Batista and Tommy Martino schedule a meeting with Donaghy, and it's at that fateful meeting that Donaghy, Martino, and Batista decide that Donaghy is no longer going to bet with Jack and Cannon, that he's now going to switch to betting directly with Jimmy Batista, which is important. The important thing about pro gamblers, they actually manipulate betting lines by betting the wrong side of a proposition and watching what they call the sucker money follow the bets. So he may have invested, let's say, $30,000 on the wrong side waiting for the line to move, and now he'll bet $1 million on the other side once the line is where he wanted it. And so having direct access to Donaghy for somebody like Batista was invaluable because now he could really maximize his access to the referee.
Jimmy Batista refers to Tim Donaghy as Elvis. Why is that?
Because he was the king.
Simple.
Pro gamblers, if they win at a 56% rate, they're thrilled. When they bet on Donaghy's games, they won 78% of the time, and he had never seen anything like that. And so for him, Donaghy was the king.
It would be logical to assume that Tim Donaghy would try to affect games in which he was an official if he had bet on those games, but Donaghy said that he never did that. Did you find that contention believable?
No. And by the way, neither did the FBI. When Donaghy pleaded guilty, the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office made him admit that his financial interest in the outcomes of games may have altered his on-court performance. They refused to sign his deal unless he made that admission. Now, that has not stopped him from insisting that he didn't alter game outcomes. There are all sorts of problems with Donaghy's story once you had a chance to assess it. For instance, he claimed in the 06-07 season, which is the season that involved Batista and Martino, that he bet on 16 games he officiated and 14 that he didn't. And that, of course, is a very important contention, because if it really was true that inside information alone accounted for his betting success, it wouldn't matter if he was officiating or not. There's no evidence whatsoever that supports that contention. And there's something even less sophisticated that no one caught. Donaghy said to the feds, and Batista and Martino also agree with this, that they had a code. And the code was mom and dad. Mom for home team. Dad, you're going to pick the away team. Well, if there are six NBA games that night, and Tim Donaghy calls Tommy Martino to place his bet, how would he know what team to pick out of the six games being played that night if he simply said mom? It only works if you know the game you're going to bet. And, of course, the games were games Donaghy officiating.
Having researched the Donaghy case and spoken really at great length with Jimmy Batista over a period of time, do you think Donaghy was simply a rogue referee, or are other officials likely to have done or be doing what he did?
Oh, I absolutely believe Donaghy was a rogue referee. There's a ton of inside information being traded as currency among pro gamblers. They really do have sources, whether it's journalists or trainers and things like that. People who often owe debts to gamblers and bookmakers, and their way of paying the debt back isn't money. It's by giving inside information. That goes on a lot. As far as altering game outcomes, that's why these pro gamblers couldn't believe what was happening. They had never seen anything like this before.
Jimmy Batista told you at one point that it was a good thing he got caught when he did, because if he'd been able to keep operating as he'd been operating, and if the authorities had landed him somewhere later down the line, quote, it would have been the biggest sports scandal in history. Was he just celebrating his own notoriety, or was there something to that assertion?
That's another great question. I think part of it really was celebrating his notoriety, but he knew who all of his inside sources were. Especially in college, as I explain in the book, obviously the focus is on the NBA betting scandal. But going back years, Batista and certain people with whom he worked had great sources in college sports. Had somebody actually taken the time to realize what he was doing and where he was getting information, it would have been the biggest scandal. The FBI, when they first visit him, they tell him that they think that he's involved with inside information. And I think they're expecting him to deny this. And he, of course, proudly says, yeah, that's what I do. I'm pretty well known for getting inside information. I trade it. And what he told me when I was interviewing, when I referenced that exchange, he swears he had no idea what they were referring to. He didn't know that they were talking about Donaghy, because it could have been any number of things.
Jimmy Batista, Tommy Martino, and Tim Donaghy all went to jail in late 2008. Where are they now?
All three men served their time in prison. What I hear is that Batista is managing a fitness club. Tommy Martino is working at his brother's hair salon. Tim Donaghy is the interesting one. He's the only one I can say conclusively what he's doing because he's been so public about it. On the one hand, he is lending his services as a consultant and as a speaker about the ills of gambling addiction. And as he's doing that, he's working for an online handicapping service providing his picks.
You write that the NBA never fully explored the betting operation in which Tim Donaghy was involved, certainly not to the extent that you did. What should the league have done that it didn't do?
I love that question. When they started their study, it was called the Pettowitz Study. An attorney in Brooklyn who was a former U.S. attorney himself, Larry Pettowitz, was hired to do this. Neither Batista nor Martino nor Donaghy would speak with him, and the feds didn't speak with him, nor did they allow him access to any of the files. So from the start, the NBA study was at best superficial. So that's not their fault. The only thing they really could have done was look at individual level referee call data. If they've done a thorough study, it's news to me. With respect to the betting line data and the betting records, that's unassailable. That's not he said, he said. I mean, the numbers are the numbers.
What about the other pro sports leagues and the big-time college programs? Have they learned anything from the Donaghy scandal and all that's come from it?
Well, you would hope so. The NFL for years has had their ears to the ground, so to speak, following betting lines. I don't know what the other pro sports do. Of course, the NBA was not, we now know, and they should have been, because that really is a tip-off. The betting lines don't lie. And with modern technology, you or I can quite easily, with a mouse and a computer, can pretty well tell if something's odd. The problem is everybody has been so tight-lipped about what they're doing. You know, I had way more success talking to federal investigators than I did about anybody in the NBA or in Las Vegas sportsbooks. So I can't tell you with any degree of certainty how serious people are, you know, ferreting this out.
Sean Patrick Griffin is the author of Gaming the Game, the story behind the NBA betting scandal and the gambler who made it happen. The book is published by Barricade, and the author joined me from WHYY in Philadelphia. Sean, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
She looked at me with that familiar desire. And her eyes lit up.
It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Harvard University, whose summer school has courses for high school, college, and adults to earn academic credit and experience campus life. summer.harvard.edu. And Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm. With 3,000 professionals worldwide, Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. This is NPR.
Queenie was an elephant that used to water ski. That may not seem quite right to you, and it may not to me, but Queenie, who was 59, did water ski a lot. She did it in the 50s and the 60s, and she got attention for so doing. She drew crowds and heard the cheers. But now the skiing Queenie has passed through this vale of tears. She cashed her chips in Georgia at a theme park where she dwelt. And this week, everyone who'd seen her ski has likely felt a pang at Queenie's passing, which is how it has to be for Queenie, that old elephant who liked to water ski.
Gold, gold.